God, open our hearts to your word, a word that passes swiftly and faithfully from the ear to the heart, from the heart to the life. Amen. You may be seated. So, are we going to do that foot thing this year? She asked gently. I don't know yet, I replied. Every year, for many years, this little dance happens, no matter which church or how many years I've served. And this service has the possibility of bare feet right next to the altar. And it's caused many to stay home. And today's no different. People are not really comfortable with removing their shoes in church and then having someone else touch or pour water over their feet. We don't like to be so close to ingrown toenails or chipped toenail polish. But you know, culturally, all that foot washing in the time of Jesus was much less about gnarly feet and much more about hospitality. Nowadays, when you visit someone's home, you don't expect anyone to wash your feet when you get there. Frankly, it would be a little awkward if someone offered, and you might even call 911 if someone started to wash your feet when you went to their house. But in the time of Jesus, foot washing was an expected part of hospitality. And the reason for this may not be instantly recognizable to those of us who live in developed countries or big cities even, but it was a real necessity back then. Let's think of a modern day glimpse at what it might have been like and why foot washing was such a big deal in Jesus' day. Those of us in the country actually better understand this custom than most people might. We have farmland and pasture land, and some grazed and some cultivated, and we have horse places here and there, and people can actually be seen from time to time riding their horses up and down the bar ditches. And as we see the weather turn pleasant, horseback riders are not an uncommon sight on our country roads. And they often leave behind a steamy, rather pungent gift behind them. And if you were following along on foot, you too might have to be careful where you step. But in Jesus' time, there was a great absence of Fords and Subarus and Toyotas. But instead, they had a lot of oxen and horses and donkeys and all manner of hooved animals. There were flocks of sheep that they moved from the high country into the city for sale. And so, not to put too fine a point on it, there was a lot of poop on the road. And carts would unintentionally spread the goods around to make sure that the walking citizenry didn't miss their chance in stepping into some of this treasure. And even if you had just left one of those Roman baths all clean and shining with perfumed oils, by the time you got home, your sandaled feet would be pretty dirty. And because your feet weren't merely dirty with the dust of the road, cleaning them was considered a truly nasty job, usually relegated to slaves. And there are numerous Old Testament references showing that the washing of feet was the first act on entering the tent or house after a journey. So people in biblical times wore only sandals, and this washing was refreshing as well as cleaning. And in the case of ordinary people, the host might furnish the water and the guests would wash their own feet. But in the more wealthy homes, the washing was done by a slave. And it was looked upon as among the lowliest of all services. So when Jesus does this, imagine, Jesus pointedly contrasts Simon's neglect of even giving Jesus some water to clean his feet with, remember, the woman's washing of his feet with her tears and wiping his feet with her hair. And on the last evening of his life, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And their pride prevented their doing this service for one another. And possibly the same pride expressed itself in the same evening when there was a controversy about places at the table. And Jesus, who knew all along and was conscious of his divine dignity, and against Peter's protest, performed for all of them this lowliest of services. His act of humility actually cleansed their hearts of selfish ambition and killed their pride and taught them the important lesson of love. Jesus was teaching this much deeper lesson instead of just a simple need for clean feet. What he was doing, Peter obviously misunderstood. The disciples obviously understood that he was washing their feet, but his statements show that Jesus was teaching us all a deeper lesson. By washing the disciples' feet, Jesus took upon himself the humblest of duties, generally left to a servant or slave. None of the other disciples would lower himself to do this for the others, so Jesus himself does it. Hence, the one whom they all knew to be the greatest among them voluntarily chose to do the humblest task among them. And this is exactly what he taught them in words on other occasions. But the question remains to each of us, what is it exactly that the disciples are supposed to imitate? Are we supposed to literally wash feet? Can you imagine more than one evening a year having to do this? Does Jesus mean for us to practice a regular church worship ritual of foot washing? Or did he set some other example? What was this lesson that we are to imitate? This lesson that becomes clear. It was the simple, simple message he leaves for all of us, to love one another. You can imagine how incredible it probably was when Jesus wraps a towel around his waist and kneels down to wash his own disciples' feet. He was choosing to wash the dirtiest part of them, the most disgusting, off-putting, smelly part of them. And the astonishing thing is that he hasn't stopped doing that for each one of us, even today. He's still looking and washing our smelliest, dirtiest bits. He's still kneeling down before you and me and washing away until he calls us clean. And he asks of us a simple, simple response. Just as I love you, even your stinky, dirty feet, you should love one another. Even yours and their most unlovable parts. I ask you to love one another. Amen.